Strike a Chord Podcast, music chit chat with your hosts Valentina Gikowski and Amla Piriakabu. Welcome to Strike a Chord. Amla, how are you going?
Yeah, good. Good. My left eye is great. How are you?
I'm pretty good. My left and right eye are great. But yeah. Anyway, you had a bit of a situation before.
Yeah. So I could partially see out of my right eye. I'm sure I'll be fine tomorrow.
You'll be fine. You'll be fine.
Yes. Anyway.
Bit of an allergic reaction. Yeah. To some people. I mean, to some pets.
And some people.
Amla, I wanted to have a chat about teaching. You're immersed into it fully at the moment, into teaching. You're teaching pretty much full time.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't say for me full time is full time is fine. I mean, it feels full time.
Well, for you, it's full time.
It's two days of teaching.
But it's the whole syllabus and everything. It's going through the whole system, right? The schooling.
Oh yeah, the school system. Yeah.
So how are you finding it? Because I know you're a very free spirit, creatively, and now you have to sort of like conform to the system, right?
So this is an interesting that you bring this up. So in the past, I did have to conform to the system. I'm very lucky at the moment in that. I guess the difference for me now is that I'm currently taking primary school music, but 10, all the year levels, 10 classes. But the beauty is it's through a charity music organization, foundation. So I can do whatever I want with the kids. So as in like I can create the syllabus because
that's good.
I'm employed as a contractor to go to a school where there's no music available.
So you've got creative freedom.
Yeah.
What is that?
It's fantastic. It's great. At the same time, I'm a bit of a perfectionist too, and I haven't really taught in a primary setting in that way with 30 kids or so.
But still, it's still quite a big feat, quite a big job or journey.
Yeah,
even though
yeah.
even if you've got creative freedom,
it's a big job. I felt very overwhelmed, obviously, with new jobs, I guess, because it's different. It's new. Yeah. It's a whole bunch of classes. Each year level's going to have different learning needs. You don't know the kids yet. There's all these factors to consider. Yeah. But I feel I had them the other week and I was really enjoying. I was starting to feel like a kid myself going through.
How good's that?
Oh, it's great. And you just forget to be playful.
I was becoming
quite playful with them, and I normally teach high school kids, and there's a bit more resistance there. Not with all of them; some of them are quite playful, but I found the primaries were quite eager. Also, they're just happy to have me there because they don't have any music at their school. Mm. So I think that's the difference between a school that already has all the privileges and a school that doesn't, and they don't take it for granted and they appreciate it more, so the kids are also quite good.
You're not dealing with the realms of puberty and all of that,
so, no, and also behave, there's no behavior management issues really.
How good's that?
Because they just want to learn. I mean, the biggest issue I have is that they get too excited and they just talk over me, but I don't mind that because they're actually really keen to and learn eager.
It must be such a breath of fresh air, or a bit of a bit of a different approach, and does it force you to think about how to make it even more interesting for them?
Definitely, and it's a different kind of, different cohort. I'm used to teaching high school kids. What I'm realizing with primary is that you've got to keep them both engaged.
The attention span, exactly.
With primaries as well, they like to move a bit more, so I'm trying to break up the activities. Like I'm just trying to configure it in a way that flows better for them. Yeah. Like I'm still learning on the job, and again, preps are very different. The pre-primaries, they're quite restless, and I have them after lunch, so they've just eaten all their candy and they're a bit hyper and
that's an issue too. Like I've taught kids one-on-one, and I find that I have to change nearly every 5 to 10 minutes to keep them, to keep them, you know,
engaged,
interested, engaged.
I have a question on that.
Go.
Oh, wait.
Go for it.
My question for you is, have you noticed a difference in the engagement back in the day? This is my like viewpoint. I felt like that students or kids were more intrinsically motivated. Mm. And because of the advances of technology and everything these days, I find that the attention span has dropped a little bit. That's what I'm noticing.
I agree. But then again, on the other side of the coin is that when we were getting taught, it was like, just you have to follow this and the
book. It was very traditional.
And there was a lot of people that actually dropped out and didn't learn music anymore because of that strictness. Whereas now technology can actually make it fun.
Definitely.
Yeah, you can actually, you've got some tasks and some games that you can be a bit more engaging with the kids in particular. And you can make their half hour of a private lesson or an hour or whatever it is a bit more interesting, and they'll be eager to get to the next class, you know, if they've finished this game or they've these tasks and stuff like that. You have to make it more interesting, but your job is a different kettle of fish because you've got 30 kids, right?
Well, it's interesting on the technology. See, I've found that that's been working for me in these settings, a combination of actual instruments with technology, and I've got a projector TV screen there, and there's really cool resources online. Musical Futures is quite good. I've actually just paid a subscription, and they've got different learning levels for like rhythms and things.
And they've got teacher resources.
Yeah,
and stuff like
it's really nice. I'm doing like ukuleles and stuff. But again, on the technology, what I find is that can work with the private lessons too. I have like little interactive games where I have to read the notes as they shoot across the screen. But then I also find that sometimes the kids want to do more of the technology stuff. I'm finding that with a couple of my private students and they want to do less of the actual playing of the instrument.
Yeah, I think every kid's different. Every individual is different. But I think this is where, as a teacher, you need to guide that, and you need to make the actual playing fun as well.
Yeah.
Like I had a student who was, you know, quite very very active in sports and wanted to do different things every 30 seconds. So I would split up like the half hour session. You need to split it up like with him. I split it up a fair few parts. But I found that sometimes, like the technology is good and everything like that, but with this particular kid, he wanted to just play and just make different sounds on the guitar. So this is where, you know, do I keep on teaching the scales and the skills, or do I give them a bit of that, you know, a bit of 5-10 minutes just to grab the guitar and just make sound and just do what they're going to, because that's going
to
make it fun.
I think that's important for, you know, to let them just give them free rein on the instrument.
Yeah, free rein.
Yeah.
I think that's it's very liberating for the kid too, because they're jumping on something that they're probably foreign to, or they're not familiar with. And I think that's a very key thing for some particular students. Some students just, I'm happy with just reading or whatever, and they progress, but not everyone's.
Not everyone. No, you're right. Yeah, you got to give them free rein as well, so they don't feel like they're restricted. Even yesterday, I had a private student, and I had a lesson plan ready, and I went, actually, you know what? Let's just see. I said, all right, let's look at all the notes you've learned so far. She's like a new student, and then I had like the flute fingering chart, and then we just actually went through all the notes. I said, how far can you go? And then we just went, all right, try this note.
Yep.
What are your fingers doing here? And then she actually got up to a high G, like three notes from the, and then she realized, whoa, I played like 10 new notes in that.
how funny is that, though? Because sometimes you feel, you've got, I don't know, the gut feeling or the instinct, you think, I'm going to change it up today.
Yeah. And it was my mood as well. I actually just couldn't be bothered going with them. I just went, this is boring. I'm just going to get her to learn.
If it's boring for you, it's going to be definitely boring for them. So that's one thing you got to. I think you got to look out for. Right?
Yeah.
But and even teaching at for mature age students, and even people that are adults.
Yes.
You got to make it a bit fun for them too. You know,
of course.
You
got to
like, you got to teach them. You got to give them something that they can reach their target. When you reach that goal, reach that target, then you can, you know, got something.
Oh like yeah, you got to find something that's a little bit more difficult. But this is a mistake. Yeah, I'm sure we've all made a bit challenging. I'm sure I've done it, especially at the beginning. Sometimes you overestimate or underestimate.
Yeah, I've done it. I've
and you give them a piece, and then you can see them going.
Yeah.
Then you realize, oh, that was probably a bit.
That was not the right decision. Yeah. Let's go back four pages.
We'll come back to that later.
Yeah, in about 4 years' time. But you gotta, I think this is where
you're learning on the job as well.
You are.
That's what's great about it, actually. You learn so much about yourself as well. And dynamics. I'm learning a lot from this classroom teaching job.
You'd learn, as you said, like about yourself, you'd learn things that you probably didn't know existed about yourself.
Well, I learned that I say I'm a lot. started recording my sessions and I was listening back. I don't like that word. So I'm noticing when I say and already my lessons have become more succinct and they flowed a lot more in the last lesson I had everyone. And I left feeling really good. Little things like that.
I've got something like that too. Yeah. And I do it on this podcast. And I hate myself for that. And that's why I hardly listen to the podcast for myself. I just move forward to the guests or to you. And I say, you know a lot. And I absolutely hate it.
Do you?
Yeah, you know. I do.
Well, I say finesse to flow.
Well, you don't say it enough.
Yeah, that's true. I think you say it more than me.
Yeah, it's things, but recording.
Yeah.
So you record.
I've started recording the sessions.
That's good.
Because it's a new way of teaching for me, but I feel I should even be recording all my just audio recording everything. Cause it's you don't realize what you're doing when you're in the moment.
How often do you go back to the recording though, after you've recorded?
Just once. Then I delete it because I have no storage on people haven't been getting my messages lately because I'm running out. Yeah, on my
phone. You need to clean out your phone.
I cleaned it out an hour ago and they all came through.
you need some sort of cloud solution or something like that.
Yeah, I know. I don't want to spend more money on the cloud. It's already anyway. That's a different topic.
Yeah.
But yes, I listened to it once.
And then
out it's gone. Yeah. I just write notes. I take notes as I listen to it.
Yeah.
I don't always listen to the whole thing. I get the gist of what I'm doing.
Yeah. It's good that you take notes. When I listen to myself, I don't take notes. I just think that's good, that's bad. And then I've recorded myself for nothing because then I don't have anything to revert back to. So
I learned this at uni, actually. Oh, I learned something at uni. It's coming back to me. I learned to take notes and to record myself, and I've started getting my private students to record themselves.
Yeah, and taking notes.
That's
the next step. Yes. Record yourself, and then what are you going to do?
It was more for them to hear, listen back and go, I'm actually improving.
Yep.
To just get them to actually listen, get to the point where they can listen, where they are able to hear themselves while they're playing, which is something I never used to do. You're just playing. You're not actually listening to what it sounds like.
No, and that also, you get to hear yourself ignore things too.
Yes.
Not only how you play, but how inconsiderate you can be on your own when you're recording yourself and not being open to the obvious sometimes. And that's both in teaching and playing.
Oh yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's just sometimes you're just hammering, and you're just oblivious to things.
Yeah,
and you think that's not good.
No, even observing other teachers or people playing, like it's the same kind of. And I've noticed that I can talk too much sometimes, and especially with high school teaching and primary school, I need to just. I actually said to the kids the other week, I said, "I'm sick of my voice. I am only going to say a few words today." You know, hands up if you have a question. Less talking from me. Let's just do this. XXX.
Yeah. I'm finding myself in that realm too. I think the most talking I do is on this podcast now. I do less talking. I think I've gone to that point where you said I can't handle listening to myself sometimes.
But also, we assume that more words equals people understanding the content more. No, you've got to be more succinct. I actually forget that less is more.
I agree.
Instructions,
totally.
Make them clear and precise. You don't need to go, when you read that note and then you need to do and they're gone. They're gone when you say and when you, like three words in, they're gone.
And I think we underestimate how they can absorb what you're saying. Sometimes we teach things like it's instructional.
Yes.
When you teach things instructional, they're gonna start yawning. But when you do things and you show them, and some people are better at visual sort of instructions.
Yeah.
And you think, okay, this is easier for me too because I'm actually doing it, and they can, you know, absorb it. I notice that with my kids sometimes I over instruct. Like, it's all right, take it easy. Say to me, so take it. I know. Take it. So now I just step back, and if you can't do it, as you said before, if you've got a question, ask me. And I think that's the best way, because you got to let them progress in their own way.
Yeah, you can't give them all the answers. No. Why do we do that? We think we're helping them, but we're not. We're not.
Put them in cotton wool sometimes.
Yeah, we assume they don't know.
We assume.
We assume. How bad is that? I'm noticing it. You learn a lot. Yeah, you learn so much.
Yeah, assuming, I think, is the one of the first things that I try to avoid all the time.
Never assume.
Because there's something that'll get you by surprise, and you think that you knew, but like with students, you think that you know. That's where you overestimate or underestimate. Can't even talk. I assumed I was able to talk.
You overestimated your vocabulary.
Exactly right. You took the words right out of my vocabulary. But yeah.
Even it's little things. It's so interesting, even what I've noticed on the assuming. When I ask a question to students, it's like we're all uncomfortable with the pause, the silence, if no one says anything.
Yep.
And I've read somewhere that just let the pause be there. There might be a kid still, we're all processing the information at different times. It's like, again, before you perform, you feel like you need to rush because everyone's waiting for
so
you.
True.
It's the same thing.
It's a good connection, that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe sometimes you need to tell yourself, all right, stop. You know, with Eckhart.
Yeah.
You know, whenever he speaks or when someone asks him a question, you notice that there's a pause. He needs to calculate.
And he also adds an extra pause to make people feel uncomfortable, which I like.
Yeah,
exactly. Because he wants people to feel that that space.
Yeah, and the tension.
Yeah.
I think he's stuffing around with a lot of people too. I like it.
I like it too.
But that thing, like, this is where what comes out of your mouth sometimes isn't processed in your head, and this is where we can make some mistakes. But especially teaching music, you need to go back and, hang on, what is the best way I can answer this question or go through this method? Because they're going to take probably the first thing that you say, and they're going to, and that's what they hear. They're not going to hear anything else after that.
You're right. The first few words, they're going to run with that.
Yeah.
They're trying to undo that is.
Yeah. Because they're going to assume
that's
the right thing to do.
Yeah. And they'll say, you said this.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're going to say, yeah, I did.
Yeah.
What an idiot. Yeah, it's a topsy-turvy place, teaching.
And you've taught kids and adults?
I have. And
what's the difference you find between
the dynamics?
Yeah.
I find adults, there's sometimes more work with adults than with kids. Kids, you can make it fun. You can, you know, and they absorb.
Yeah, they absorb. Yeah, they're a sponge.
Whereas some of the adults, like myself, we like to just say yeah, and we're thinking about what we're gonna have for dinner, or who's gonna make dinner, or where I have to go take the kids here, and you're not fully immersed in the lesson.
Yeah, I'm a bit guilty of that.
Yeah,
even as you know,
I think we all are.
Even as a student, go and have a lesson, and I'm thinking, what's the time I need to go? You're right. It's interesting. Yep.
The only thing that, and I think this is, I've had an idea in the past where I think for adults, you have to make it a social thing. So we, if you've noticed when an adult is social or in that having a coffee or having a drink or in a bar or in a cafe and they're relaxed, you can some people, you can hear them, they talk and everyone's engaging and everyone's sort of like trying to figure out who's saying what and everything like that. And that's when they're alert. Maybe that's what we have to do when we're teaching adults.
Mm.
Maybe get them in that social environment, have a drink or have this or have that, and just get that flowing, and then start teaching him, oh, what about this? And then I think it starts to correspond with their social sort of triggers, you know?
Yeah, or even perhaps group lessons with adults, adult group lessons.
And this is why workshops.
Yeah. Yeah, workshops work so well. Even that I went to that jam session where everyone learned an Irish tune or a
Yeah, that's right.
And that
that's
worked really well. Everyone was just really into it.
Yeah, I think workshops actually work. Workshops work. And it's a bit less stressful for the person who really wants to see if they really want to make it work or not.
Yeah, that's a good point. They can suck
because everyone's
out
at every level. Yeah. So you're gonna, and that's where you'll filter out yourself where you're at and whether you want to really do it or continue. And we should actually do a workshop.
Yeah,
we should do a workshop
around just jam
workshop.
Yeah.
Making jam.
Yeah, I was going to say marmalade jam. Marmalade.
Awesome. Thanks, Amla.
Thank you.
That's a quite informative little episode. And I think it's going to help some people out there who are even starting to teach and don't know how to approach.
Yeah, just look, we're all making mistakes. Not mistakes, we're all learning. We're finessing it and we're tweaking
Developing.
Yeah, we're developing. We're going, okay, that worked. That worked for that group. Mm. Didn't work for that group. Again, different kids.
Different individuals, different things, different environments.
Kids might be coming in a bit. All it takes is one or two kids who are pissed off at something that happened at lunch or that can change the whole dynamic.
So true. So true.
So many variables.
As I said before, it's very dynamic.
It's very dynamic.
Very dynamic. Thanks, Amla.
Thank you. Oh, we'd like to thank our sponsors. Yes,
again.
Cake Eclipse.
Cake Eclipse. This is a chocolate mud cake again with a different flavor. I'm not quite sure what it is, but we'll figure it out.
And Music Pro Services.
Music Pro Services for all your producing needs or musical needs and everything like that.
Emotional needs.
Yes. therapy sessions, mentorship. I also want to mention your website, Amla Music.
Oh yes, amlamusic.com. I need to pay the membership. It does
still going.
It's still got good. I must have paid it.
Yeah, yeah.
It didn't expire.
That's right. And and also the Striker Court Instagram.
Yes. Strike
_a_chord_
I think. You'll find it.
You'll find it.
As soon as you type in strike and the first underscore, it should come
up. That's right. Also, want to mention that the Strike Accord podcast is on all the podcast platforms, Spotify, YouTube, Podbean, all those things. So if you want to just listen to us while you're driving, pop it on Spotify and just listen to the banter. And the musical chit chat, as we say.
Yes.
Where we're finessing the flow.
Musical chit chat.
I should get you to do that after the musical promo.
A musical chit chat. Do we want it to be diminished? We can discuss this.
We'll take it offline. Thanks, Amla.
Thank you, Valentino.
Till next time. Ciao. The Striker Chord Podcast, presented to you by ValentinoFlamenco.com and AmlaMusic.com.